This time I'm going to invite Pastor Dylan to come up. You just give him a welcoming hand.
I had to get the stool off. I'm not going to sit down. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this time we get to share together today. And Lord, I'm praying that your spirit will be upon us today. That as we walked into this church, your church today, that your message would not be about Pastor Dylan. That your message would not be about the people of Dighton. But Lord, that your message would be about you. And that we would learn something about you today. Bathe your spirit in this place now. We're asking for your guidance and your wisdom during this time. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I got to get back up to my notes. I was at the bottom. So at least you know I was going through them. That's good, right? So I wanted to start by talking about awkward moments. I think if we all agree, this is kind of an awkward moment, right? You've never heard me preach before in person. I've never preached to you before. It's an awkward moment. You ever have those awkward moments where you're just kind of sitting there and you just wish that the floor would open up and you could just disappear? Or you had like the power of invisibility where you could just turn it on and disappear? I send this video to my wife all the time. It's from The Office, and it's Jim Halpert. He's in the car, and he hits the thing, and he like disappears behind it. You guys don't know The Office here? No one laughed at that. It was a little... Well, after service, we'll have a special moment at the altar if you don't know about The Office. We can spend some time on your soul, okay? But I'd really like to tell you about this really, really, really awkward moment. Now, this moment, it doesn't involve me, okay? So it's someone else. So when you're picturing this moment, it was not me. Okay. So there was this guy, right? I'm serious. This was this guy. And he was overseeing a kids' camp in the greater Ohio district. Again, not me, okay? And so every summer, he put on a camp for kids. And this camp involved 250 kids and volunteers. And so he's on his way to the camp. Again, not me, okay? He's on his way to the camp. He gets to the camp, and he's so excited. He's like, this is the best week of the year. Starts talking to the camp staff, and he's like, all right, camp starts tomorrow. What are we going to do right now? And the camp staff said, camp starts next week, not this week. And this guy, not me, said, no, that's not true. I have 250 kids and volunteers coming tomorrow here to start camp. They're like, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't start tomorrow. You need to leave. We have another camp coming in. And so, if you don't know by now, it was me. Okay, I'll admit it. It was this moment where I had to walk into this awkward conversation of calling 250 families and volunteers saying, hey, here's the thing. Camp doesn't actually start tomorrow. It starts next week. Can you still come? That's an awkward conversation that was repeated many, many times. But here's the good news. After all those conversations, the amount of kids that we lost, which we lost a few who couldn't come the next week, we actually gained more kids who could come to the camp because I couldn't come that week. So the Lord was over it all, okay? And just a little side note, he works through your mistakes, right? Amen? Amen. So that was an awkward conversation. We're just coming out of Thanksgiving. That's an awkward season where you're at home with family and you know, something might come up like politics, right? That can be an awkward conversation. Or having awkward, or those tough, difficult conversations with your kids. Those can be difficult as well, especially as your kids start to get older and they start to ask really, really good questions. And that's where we find ourselves today with the Apostle Paul. Is he's having to walk into this difficult conversation with the church in Corinth. It's a church that he started, but he has to walk into this difficult conversation to say, what in the world is going on in this church? And so I want to read a quote to you from Gordon Fee. He's a scholar. He says this: although they were the Christian church in Corinth, an inordinate amount of Corinth was yet in them, emerging in a number of attitudes and behaviors that required radical surgery without killing the patient. This is what the letter attempts to do. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthians basically to try to save the church that he started. And what's happening is that the culture is influencing the church instead of the church influencing the culture, which is that's what you want. You want the church to influence the surrounding culture. Now, if you don't know much about Corinth, it was a pretty big port city. It was a place of commerce, lots of people, lots of influences. They had the Jewish people, they had Romans, they had Greeks, lots of money rolling around. They had lots of religions that were there. So we get a place of commerce, you have a lot of religions that are there. I think they had over 12 temples that were celebrated there. So all this stuff is going on where the culture is beginning to influence the church. And so Paul was getting these reports and he's sending his letter back saying, we need to do something about this. And so I'm going to go through a couple of examples in 1 Corinthians, but as we're going through those examples, I want us to focus on the bigger issue. So let's not focus on the sin. The two examples that I'm going to give involve sexual immorality. So I don't want you to focus on that because that's a different message for a different day and a different time that we don't have time for. But what I want you to focus on is how the culture and this mindset that has come to the Church of Corinth where they were separating their body and their soul. And so they would say that my body is here, but my soul is over here. Those two don't work together. As long as I'm attending church, spending time in the Word, doing good things, I can do whatever I want with my body, as long as my soul is taken care of. So that is the mindset that the Corinthians have at this point. And Paul is writing this letter to say, no, 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 that's not true at all. You can't do that. What you need to understand is that your body and your soul are a part of our embodiment. It's a package deal. You can't separate the two. So let's look at the first issue here. 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 1. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. So let's look at that first part. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. So what the word tells us there is that this wasn't a secret. It's not like they were like hiding this out and no one knew about it. Everyone in the church knew this was going on. So much so that Paul, who's not even there, is getting reports about it. So it wasn't a secret of what was going on between this man and his stepmother. But again, don't focus on the sin, right? Focus on how the culture has separated the body and the soul. I can hardly believe the report I'm getting. A man is living in. So verse 2, you are so proud of yourselves. So this is the part that we need to focus on. Because despite everything that was going on in the church, how everyone knew what was going on, they were proud of it. They weren't saying, no, this is wrong. We need to walk into this difficult situation with this man who probably had some influence in the church, right? I mean, if he's still hanging around in the church, he probably had a lot of influence in the church. But nobody is walking into this awkward conversation where they're saying that, how have we got to this place where we're separating our soul and our body? Someone needed to walk into that conversation. And again, at the last part of verse 2, and we should remove this man from your fellowship. That's a different message for a different day. Repentance, forgiveness, church culture. We don't got time for that today. Paul's so good. I love Paul. Do you guys love Paul? You guys are really quiet. Second example. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 13. And I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to kind of go through slowly. You say, and there's quotations, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Verse 13. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for the food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And so this very first part, you say, and then they have the quotations, I am allowed to do anything. This was like a slogan for the Corinthians. That's why it's in quotes. You say, and they would proudly say, we can do anything we want with our bodies. Our soul is taken care of. We're doing all the right things. We're in church. We're praying. We're hanging out in community. We're taking the Lord's Supper. As long as this is taken care of, I can do whatever I want. That's the mindset that they had. When I first got to college, I'm going to give you a little example here. When I first got to college, I thought I could do anything. So I ate ice cream every night. How many of you would like to eat ice cream every night? I would. I found out quickly, you can't eat ice cream every night. You can't do anything that you wanted to. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. Is like, you can't do everything that you want to do because you will become a slave to it. And how relatable is it that most oftentimes when thinking about the bigger sin, not looking at the individual sin, but the separation of body and soul, how often is it true that even today we become a slave to those things that we are addicted to? When we separate our embodiment, we say that as long as my soul is okay, I can do what I want with my body. Paul goes on, you say that food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. So we didn't get into the example today, but a little bit later it talks about how they were having issues with the agape meal and the Lord's Supper. So the rich people were eating the meal before the poor people. So they were saying that our food was made for our stomach and our stomachs for food, which is basically equating to saying that our bodies were made for sexual immorality, as long as our souls are taken care of. And so Paul is reaching this point where he's saying, this is not how it's supposed to be. You can't say that your bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. But how did the Corinthians get to this place? How did the culture become like this? And so I brought a few pictures to show you. Can you bring up that first picture for me? So this is a museum in Corinth where it has different body parts, different sculptures of body parts. So you'll see it's got some legs and some feet. Don't look at the back wall, okay? You looked, didn't you? I knew it. There's always one. One always looks. But this is at a museum where they're showcasing and highlighting the body, but the separate parts. Not even the whole embodiment. So even in their artwork and the culture, they were saying that even our whole body is, it's whatever. Here's a leg, here's an arm, whatever. We go to the next picture. So these are statues in Corinth where the heads had been cut off. And so it was typical that a conquering party who would take over would come in and they would cut off the heads of sculptures. And then what they would do is they would put up their own head
on the same sculpture. To say that even the body doesn't matter, I can just put my head on there and it's my sculpture. And then somebody would come in, they would cut the head off and they'd put the other head on. So you can see even through these pictures that the mindset of the Corinthians was the body doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want with our body as long as our soul is taken care of. And so Paul begins to use familiar language to the culture so that they would understand what he was talking about. And this is probably a familiar verse for you. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 says this, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, and some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part." So when we see those pictures and we understand the culture a little bit more, a verse like this really comes alive for us. Because then we start to realize what Paul was writing to and how he was writing to the people. He was showcasing that, no, the individual parts matter, right? But they matter when they're together in a whole body. And he was talking about the church community in that instance, but he's also referencing our own bodies. And Jesus said that I am the head of the body, right? Jesus is the head of our body. So let's circle back to our anchor text now. After having all that background, let's go back to our anchor text. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. "Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" So anytime that we see the temple language is used, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a secret, okay? Don't tell your friends. Anytime temple language is used, it's really, really important. Because if we go back to the Old Testament, when we read about the temple, what was important about the temple, the presence of God was always there. And so what Paul is telling us is that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are literally the dwelling place of the Lord, who lives in you and was given to you by God. Listen to this next part. "You do not belong to yourself." In our culture today, this rings really true because we have this saying or this understanding that this is my body, right? I can do whatever I want with my body. Culture would tell you that that's all right. But what God's word says is that your body was bought with a high price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And so what Paul was trying to get to the Corinthians and what he's trying to tell us today is that our embodiment is important. So much so that we need to get to this place where our body and our soul are united as one. So this is God's affirmation to you today. His presence within defines our presence. His presence within defines our presence. Because if we're trying to reclaim holiness, and every good Wesleyan who does a candidating message better speak about holiness. If we're trying to reclaim our holiness, it starts with our embodiment coming together with body and soul. It's a package deal. You can't separate the two. So how do we cultivate? How do we cultivate our embodiment? The first one is to engage in practices of movement. This sounds pretty simple, right? I'm not telling you just to stand up and run around. Maybe you want to stand up and leave. I mean, you could practice embodiment that way. But I'm going to give you an example because I think if we just say just practice moving, it's kind of like going towards the Corinthians saying my body's more important than anything else. I'm just going to do whatever I want with my body. But how are we allowing those moments for our soul to catch up to our body? We're so busy these days, always running around. People will come up to you and say, hey, how's it going? Our typical response is, dude, I'm so busy. I got this going on. I got this going on. I just don't have time for anything. How often are we letting our soul catch up to our body? Even today, as you walked in here, as you moved your body in here and sat down, has your soul caught up to you? Have you allowed the worship to really work over you? Have you allowed the mediocre preaching to kind of get there for you a little bit? But have you allowed their soul to catch up? Because we often are just running around so much, we don't give time for the soul to catch up to our bodies. And we often don't incorporate the soul into physical activities. And so I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to make a confession too. Are you okay with that? Is this thing on? Hello? Are you guys good with that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So it's not very good. Not very good. It's not good to admit that you're crazy in a candidating message. But I'm crazy. I'm just going to say that. I wanted to kind of improvise together, and I said, hey. But I wanted it to be more than just a workout group. I wanted that moment where our soul could catch up with our body, right? And so one of the things that we do is we listen to Christian music while we're doing it. Now, some days they get to pick the radio station, so it's not always Christian music. But on my days, it's Christian music. And they know me as a pastor, right? So they have this clever nickname for me. They call me the barefoot preacher. That's my nickname. Because I typically walk around barefoot, but Sean told me I had to wear shoes today, so I did. But they know that I'm a pastor. And so what it has done is provided opportunities for the soul to catch up to the body. And I'm going to give you a real-time update because this happened on Friday. This happened on Friday. And so one of the guys in the group, he always comes up to me and he always jokes. He's like, hey, preacher, give me the good word. And at first, I didn't know what this meant. I was like, it's going well, I don't know. He wanted like a devotional thought, like a 5-minute devotional thought. And so he would say, hey, preacher, what's the good word? And so I'd just throw out something from my devotional life. And so he came up to me on Friday, and he just had this look in his eyes, like devastation was going on in his life. And he comes up to me, he's like, man, I just feel like this year has been rocky. My marriage is not going well. My business is not going well. One of my friends that I've been training in the business is trying to take away clients from me and start his own business. And you could just see the devastation. And so I had this opportunity for the soul to catch up to the body. So I kid you not, in between, we were doing triceps that day. In between sets of triceps, I prayed for this man on the gym floor, that God would come into his life in a significant way and work him through this. So if you're providing the opportunities for the soul to catch up in the embodiment, it presents these wonderful moments in life where you can just give the gospel to people. And that's the holiness message, right? Is how are you witnessing to the people around you? Because I want to tell you about Jesus and what he's done in my life and what he can do in your life. So we have to engage in practices of movement. Second point, we have to establish community and accountability. And I think this is so huge, is to have that community and the accountability part as well. Do you have a group of people that you can go to and they can tell you exactly what's going on? Because it goes back to being the head, that Jesus is the head of the body. So if I'm in line with Jesus, right, if my head is of Jesus, and your head is in head of Jesus, and we're in community together, when you call me out, it's not coming from you, it's coming from Jesus. And that's what a group of accountability partners do, is when you're together, it's not coming from Pastor Dylan, what's going on, X, Y, and Z. No, this is, we're in a safe place with the Lord, and this is what the Lord has shown me. When you can build those relationships, that's when you begin to allow your soul to catch up to your body, that you can have those moments together where someone can call you out. The Corinthian church didn't have that. They didn't have a community and a group of accountability because they didn't believe that Jesus was the head. They were running around like chickens with their heads cut off. But when we allow Jesus to be the centerpiece of our community, you can enter in those conversations, and they're not difficult, and they're not awkward, because you're saying, this is from the Lord, not from me, not from you. And that's how you build accountability and community. The last point, we have to embrace our embodiment. So honor God with your body, his redeemed dwelling place. His redeemed dwelling place. I wanted to give you a little piece of Christmas, since I won't be here for Christmas. I might never be back either, so, you know, whatever. I can say what I want. But I wanted to give you a little piece of Christmas, because I think too often we anticipate Christmas and the birth of Jesus. And we're like, oh, baby Jesus, this is wonderful. When's Easter coming? And sometimes just it's passed over, the Christmas connection. So I wanted to make this last point. I'm gonna close with this. The manger reveals the significance of the embodiment. The manger reveals the significance of the body, of the embodiment. That is to say that if Jesus does something, it's pretty important, right? So if Jesus was born in the flesh and blood, that would tell us that our embodiment is pretty important, because Jesus was the one that did it. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the Word of the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us. And then when Jesus died and rose and went up, he said, I'm going to send my advocate for you, the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul is telling us is that same Spirit, the Word that became flesh, dwells in us, that we are the chosen vessels for God. Just like Jesus was born, and we celebrate the birth, but it's the start of his ministry when he's born. So God coming in the flesh is the start of his ministry, and that was how he chose his vessel to do ministry, was through Jesus. And now he's chosen all of us to be his vessel, to see his mission redeemed here on earth. So the question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to live in your embodiment? Are we going to take the words of Jesus seriously to say that this is important, that what we do here now matters? Because oftentimes we'll look ahead to the resurrection and saying, I can't wait for the glorified body. I can't wait. Heaven is there. It's going to be beautiful. And it will be. But we're here now. We're embodied souls right now. So how are we reclaiming our holiness to be a witness to those around us, to say, this is what Jesus is doing in my life, and I want to see him do it in your life as well. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we got to share together today. I'm just so thankful for your word and how Paul has called us to this moment of loving and trusting in our embodiment. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through the anticipation of Christmas and the birth of our Savior, that we would remember the words of Paul, that our bodies are a temple of the Spirit, your Spirit, Lord. That the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus dwells in us. And that we are your chosen vessels to do your work and your ministry in this world. And so, Lord, I pray for this community, that you would embolden us and empower us and give us the strength that we need to live out that truth today. That we would continue to trust you and know that your faithfulness is where we need to lean in our understanding. Thank you so much for all that you do and how you care for us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.